Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
ESPN suspended Keith Olbermann today. And again, it's not something he did on the air. It is what he did on Twitter. If I have... I hope I have the gist of the story correct here. But it involved tweets involving Penn State and Thon. That's what it involved. And the get to the full story here, because it is obviously the big story of the day, broadcast wise. But we know what he has said on the air about Penn State and the Jerry Sandusky scandal to this point. He's engaged in various Twitter battles. They did not escalate to the point where management had to get involved, and that was until this week. He was suspended from his show for the rest of the week by ESPN over tweets he made regarding Penn State, and ESPN had to issue a statement in regards to the suspension. They said, quote, "We are aware of the exchange Keith Olbermann had on Twitter last night regarding Penn State. It was completely inappropriate and does not reflect the views of ESPN. We have discussed it with Keith, who recognizes he was wrong. ESPN and Keith have agreed that he will not host his show for the remainder of this week and will return on Monday. The annual tradition of Thon and the efforts of the students of Penn State to fight pediatric cancer should be applauded." So, this is how it got going. It was rather innocent. And evidently, a young woman by the name of Lisa sent out a tweet. And I don't know if it was directly to him or not. It may have been directly to him. And it was, "We are," and then it tagged in the Collegian article on raising over $13 million. So she put, "We are," and then tagged the article. And his response was pitiful. Then the next one was from a guy named Dave, who said, "So, at Keith Olbermann says PSU students raising over $13 million for pediatric cancer research is pitiful. No, sir, you are the definition of the word." Olbermann then responded, "No, son, I said Penn State's PSU students were pitiful, had nothing to do with fundraising." And then it went back and forth like that. And at one point in one tweet, he used the word moron, and it just kept going back and forth and back and forth. And then finally, a guy that's a good friend of mine, Steve Krajcik, who is the director of student television at Penn State. Steve's a great broadcast professional, fabulous. Did a did a lot of great work in Washington State. I've known Steve for a couple of years now, and he is a very smart, in-tune, fabulous teacher. Students love him here. And he tweeted, confused as to how and why ESPN brass allows Keith Olbermann to engage in a Twitter war, cursing and acting like an angry teenager. Olbermann has now apologized on Twitter. I apologize for the PSU tweets. I was stupid and childish and way less mature than the students there who did such a great fundraising job. And we thank, by the way, Ken Fang, awfulannouncing.com, who wrote that article, and thus we took parts of it and used on the air. So I wasn't going to comment on that. And this, you know, yesterday I talked about it's important for Penn State to get the message out there in all forms, at every level, student, middle management, upper management, board, everywhere, about all the great things that are going on here. But at the same time, you know, there's certain people you're never going to change their minds. You just aren't. And you have to realize and put into that category of people whose minds, you know, darn well, are just not going to change. Just not going to. And he would be one of those people that you probably would put into that mindset. No matter how many facts you were to present, it still wouldn't matter. Just based on history. And it really got going. I mean, Deshaun Hamilton tweeted him. Michael Motti tweeted him. I mean, it got pretty heated in reading all this last night. Well, Penn State is doing a lot of great things. And one thing I didn't mention yesterday, and I should have mentioned a little bit more about, was uplifting athletes. And the great job they do, because uplifting athletes here is about $100,000 ahead of everybody else per year. And believe me, anybody who raises any money for anything, I mean, raises any money for anything, should always be praised. Because anytime you're raising money for a cause, you know, I'm talking about a legitimate cause. Yeah, I don't care if you're out there going door to door with Girl Scout cookies or you're doing something to the level of Thon or Coaches versus Cancer or Uplifting Athletes Coaches versus Cancer or any one of a number of 1,000 great charities out there. Ronald McDonald House. And you're out there raising, I mean, the Ronald McDonald House in Danville just does incredible work. Incredible work. And I'm proud to say I donate to them every month. Every month I make a donation to Ronald McDonald House in Danville because they help families out. Room, food at a time where they need a room and food to, you know, when they're going through a crisis with a family member. So anybody who raises money to help someone else, it's a tremendous endeavor. Anytime you do something to help out someone else, it doesn't matter what the level of the donation is. That's irrelevant. The fact is that you made a donation. I don't care if it's a donation of money or your time or a talent, whatever. You know, we talk about the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. Well, Thon's a perfect example of a lot of people, thousands of people coming together to do something for something that's very worthy, the fight against pediatric cancer, whether it's helping out families, helping out children, or helping in research. An incredible endeavor. And it's one of many great endeavors happening on this campus. Coaches versus Cancer, as I mentioned yesterday, the seventh largest Coaches versus Cancer in the country. Pink Zone. They're going to have the Pink Zone game, I think, is going to be this Sunday. They're going to have, I bet the fundraiser ends up over $300,000 for breast cancer research. Huge. uplifting athletes. It's significant. Penn State, to its credit, again, other schools, and I've seen the numbers from all the other schools, really, really great. Penn State's is special. Way ahead. Okay? Autism. Fight against autism. They do an autism run walk here every year. Other campuses have now picked up on it. And, you know, again, these are obviously, I know a little bit more about all these things because I have obviously some involvement. I don't do anything with Thon, and I don't do anything with, really, with Pink Zone, except promote it. That's it. That's not much. But I'm far more active in helping out in the Coaches Versus Cancer with the various things. I'm far more active helping out with uplifting athletes. Far more active when it helps out with the autism cause. Because you got to pick along the way. And with Thon, there's no need for me to, you know, do anything other than what I'm asked to do because the students run the whole thing. It's their baby. And the Autism Speaks fundraiser here is the number one among college campuses in the country. Again, the ability to give back. Anytime you give back, that is worthy of praise because you're doing something for someone else. And you can't put a price on that. When you care enough to try and help someone else, and it's part of, and it's not just here. This is the single most generous country on the face of the earth, and anyone with any common sense knows that. Country has a huge heart. Huge heart. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us as we roll through on this Tuesday. Tori, you have a story you wanted to get out there.
Well, yeah, you know, Steve, first of all, it's great to be back with you again. But the last time that we were here, I have to tell you, which goes along with what you were just talking about, I donate my DJ services to a function called the Blue White Ball, which is in Pittsburgh, which is put on by the Dance Marathon Alumni Interest Group, okay? Which they raised a little over $10,000 two weekends ago for Thon. But how this ties all in is two people who I know that you're very, very good friends with, one being Jay Paterno and the other being Paul Alexander, were the MC and the featured guest.
Awesome people.
So I'm sitting at the table talking to Jay and Paul, and somehow the conversation got around to the selfies with Flavor Flav, which we had talked about the last time you and I were on the air together, which I had to pull out the, well, Steve has a Flavor Flav story, why don't you guys? And they we were all just kind of shocked that, or not shocked, that Steve Jones would have a Flavor Flav story he could pull out of the archive for all of us to share, you know. So I just thought I'd pass that along because it was kind of funny, and I knew you knew all the parties involved, so...
Yes, and for those who don't realize, he was with the group
his
Public Enemy at the time.
Yeah, his posse.
Right? Yeah. So they all were wearing the Public Enemy jackets. And he had the clock around his whatever. And I'm they obviously were just getting going as a group because we're all sitting back in coach. we were not sitting in first class. Yeah. And he had one of those little baseball bats that you get at the ball game. I mean, I'm talking a little tiny wooden bat, maybe, I don't know, it was 2 feet long, 18 inches long, whatever. And so he's talking
to the group, and I was sitting in front of him, and he was standing up, and boom, I was trying to sleep, and he whacked me over the top of the head. I'm like, oh, jeez. I didn't say anything, and I know it's accidental, and he did it again, and the third day he did it again. Well, the fourth time he did it, I got up, I grabbed the bat, and of course, he's a little guy. Yeah. He's not very, I didn't feel like I was talking to Brandon Taylor, and I said, look, I said, you've hit me with this thing in the head four times now. I said, if there's a fifth time, I will be the biggest enemy you've got on this plane.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me like, I'm so sorry, man. I said, it's all right. I said, just don't hit me in the head. I said, I don't care if you hit me in the arm. I said, you're hitting me in the head. He goes, oh, yeah. He said, that's not good.
Well, again, so, yes. Yes. The surprise of nobody. It was not a big shock that Steve Jones could pull that out of his history.
Yeah. How about that? that was the last time we were out. First of all, I'm glad you raised $10,000. Yeah. It's great that you donated your services for that. That's tremendous.
It's a great event, and they get some real good speakers, and of course Jay being, he came out and talked about Thon, and it was just, the whole Thon thing is just a moving experience to begin with, and of course Paul is a great guy, and does a fine job on Root Sports.
Well, Paul and I go back, my goodness, 25, almost 30 years now.
Yeah,
I mean, good friend, Paul Alexander, good friend, and I remember. It's another story from way back. He got married, but he couldn't start his honeymoon because they got a cheaper rate to go to Cancun or something like that. So I pulled double duty all week because he was doing the morning portion, I was doing the evening portion at the time on the station we were working at. Well, I get to Friday night, and after, being at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then the talk show is over at 7 o'clock at night, I'm tired. Well, I get back and I get a call from my next door neighbor, and said, my husband's in upstate New York with my daughter. I said, okay. He says, their car broke down.
Uh-oh.
I said, okay. Could you go get them? Can I go get them?
Look, I just spent 82 hours on the air, honey. No.
No, I did. I actually got tools, and I actually fixed the Volkswagen.
Ooh. Wow.
It was up in Sayre, New York. Or no, Sayre. It was just across the line on the New York side from Sayre, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Waverly, New York, something like that.
Yep, something like that.
I got home at 3 in the morning. I felt great. It was a Friday night.
Yeah.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. It's interesting. What gets people in trouble again? It's Twitter. Every time we turn around, it really is no longer us talking about something somebody said on the air that got them into trouble. Going back, let's take a famous one. Somebody who's still on the air today, but Don Imus, for example. Years ago, and what he said and the trouble it caused with the Rutgers women's basketball team. All right, that was said on the air. But today, it's Twitter that seems to be the avenue that gets people into trouble. Now, it's not that Twitter is all bad. Of course not. It's like anything. Let's take, for example, a great tool that I use that is a tremendous help in my job every day, and it helps all of you out there, the Internet. In fact, this morning I was doing a lot of research on Iowa basketball to get myself ready for the game on Saturday, getting some advance work in. as I go. Well, because of the internet, I could get the information I wanted. Articles, press releases, game notes, stats, things like that. We all know that there's a seedier side to the internet. We all know that. So nothing's going to be perfect. So Twitter's in the same realm. There's a lot of great stuff on Twitter. I mean, most of it is innocuous. I love Milano bread, you know. Okay, no, none of us cares that you do, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it, all right? It's just innocent stuff, you know. Hey, you know, Johnny got an A today in science, you know, and send it out on Twitter. Well, okay, that's Twitter. Twitter also could be used in news. For example, the Twitter account here at WKOK, when the prison fire was going on, was loaded with information all the time. We use Twitter here to promote what guests we're going to have on. You'll see a tweet later in the week that Mike Hall of BTN is going to be on the show on Thursday, as an example. But then there's the other side of it. Again, like I said, nothing, you know, I mean, nothing's perfect. All the incredible applications of the internet, everything from online shopping, getting your holiday shopping done, to finding information on anything you want, Googling Kevin Herr, I mean, anything. I mean, all the great uses that you have for it, but we know there's a seedier side to it. Well, in Twitter, the side that has been a crusher for a lot of people is they'll express their opinions in 140 characters or less, or get into these Twitter battles. And that's what you had here, a Twitter battle. And the great American philosopher, Herm Edwards, once said he has a cure to the Twitter wars. Don't hit send. Seems to solve a lot of it.
That is true.
Don't hit send. You may be upset about something in the moment. There may be something that just absolutely gnaws at you. And you take that frustration out in the 140 characters. And then you let that just kind of just settle for a moment. And then you can hit erase. You got it out of your system.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but once you hit send, it's too late.
And once you hit send, it's there forever. I mean, you could delete your Twitter account all you want. I did a story last week on a similar Twitter topic, and it was about a reporter. No, I'm sorry. She a reporter. She may have been a public relations person for a company, and she was making all sorts of, you know, travel jokes and so forth. And one of them was about going to Africa, and it dealt with AIDS, and it also had a racial component in it. And she hit send. And, you know, she was kidding around. I mean, she even basically couched it as, you know, okay, it's a joke, you know. And she didn't think anything of it until all of a sudden, when she landed in Cape Town, South Africa, she turned her phone back on, and it blew up. She's like, what was my phone? Because she didn't think twice about it. She had 170, Tori, she had 170 Twitter followers total. 170, that's it. So to her, putting out her little funny things about some other passenger and whatever were just innocuous things. 170 Twitter followers go, yeah, okay, fine. Well, the plane lands, and she turns her phone back on. Oh, my goodness. It exploded because it went worldwide, and even her friend, her best friend, I think her best friend's name was Hannah, I believe, got to her and deleted the account. But that, in the end, doesn't do enough. It is there forever. And, of course, She thought it was funny. She thought she was being cute, whatever. And the whole thing, she didn't think twice about it. She hit send. Well, today, hitting send is, you got to think about it. I've told those, when I teach class, I've talked about doing this show. And I said, there are moments where there may be an issue that comes up that really brings with it a lot of emotion. I said, and you have to be able to phrase your emotion properly, because in this business, you're always one word away from going from host to listener. And that is the nature of today's media. The nature of today's media is you can't be carefree and go out there and feel like you can say whatever you want. The old Howard Cosell line, tell it like it is. You always can't tell it like it is, because there's a possibility you're going to offend someone. And that's a distinct and real possibility. You try to have good, strong opinions, and you try to back them up with as many facts as possible. Oh, and by the way, you and I, Tori, can take the same set of facts, and we may draw different conclusions from those facts. Or at least we're both using facts to draw our conclusions from. And we have a lot of, and even in the guise of trying to, you know, be funny, you know, some, you know, and sometimes, a lot of times, it's the sense of humor that gets you. Where you're trying to be funny, you're trying to kid around a little bit, and somebody takes it the wrong way. I mean, even in interplay with co-hosts, Kevin and I will kid around back and forth, whatever, and all it is kidding around between two good friends back and forth, and sometimes somebody takes it wrong, like, well, you know, you're too brutal on him.
Oh, no, you're not.
No, but it's part of the show. We're having fun, all right? You know, he knows one of the first people he could call for help on anything. It's going to be me. Well, he and I are going to go out. We're going to play golf. He and I are going to go out and go to dinner and all the time. We always figure out ways to get together because we're friends. We like each other. People want to know if, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people want to know if you like each other off the air. And in some cases, that's not the case. Well, in my case, that is the case.
You know, I've actually had people ask me that. You know that?
Yeah. whether we get along off the air, we're friends off the air?
Yeah.
And we're really good friends off the air. Really good friends. I mean, how do you think I know that his son passed his driver's permit today?
Yeah, see, I didn't even know why I was here today, but I'm glad you filled me in, yeah.
Well, I'm saying, though, as soon as he got it, he texted me. You know, but now, why did he do that? You know, because we're friends. That's why. He wanted me to know. He knew I'd be interested. You know, how's Daniel doing? Did he do it? You know, what school's he going to go to? I mean, so then you get on the show and you he'll do that fan thing that he does, and I'll do the little logical thing that I do, and it's all part of the show. But that's all it is part of the show. And that's an area. And so even in sense of humor where both people are doing it for a particular reason and having fun with it, I think 90%+ of the audience gets it, but you're going to have the 10% that goes, hey, well, what's the problem? What's the issue here? What's the deal? You know, and, you know, because not everybody's going to be on the same page. And maybe we're not presenting it right either. But that's where you get in trouble in this business. And same thing with Twitter. You have 140 characters that it's done in black and white. It doesn't come with a laugh track. It doesn't come with inflection. It doesn't come with a facial expression. It comes out in 140 characters, black and white. And that is a big part of, again, every time we turn around, there is a problem that somebody's having, and where does it seem to start? It's not really starting sometimes on the air. It's actually starting with Twitter or Instagram or And again, there's nothing wrong with Twitter or Instagram. Zero. But that seems to be a flashpoint when you express an opinion or whatever, where you don't explain yourself. It's a totally different time. I remember when Twitter came out, Jay Paterno was one of the first guys I know that really got into Twitter. Really got into Twitter. And I said to him, I said, Jay, why? He goes, no, this is going to be a hot thing for the next few years. And like most new things, typical me. Yeah, right. Sure. I remember when I got an iPhone, Tori, I walked into Channel 3. I walked into Channel 3. It was in the morning. Bill Amin works at Channel 3, and Bill does a lot of work for ESPN. He's worked on game day. He's worked on game coverage. And now he's doing a lot with them on tennis coverage, the Australian Open, U.S. Open, Wimbledon, French Open, and works for the Tennis Channel. Right? So Bill does a lot. Well, Bill saw me walk in, this is 2 years ago, with an iPhone. He looked at me, he says, oh my goodness, I never thought I'd see the day. So I've always been a little bit behind the technology curve.
Just a tad, right?
Just a tad. So I've at least made it into the 21st century in most areas. And Jay was way ahead as to what Twitter is going to mean. Now, Twitter does a great, again, we talked about the Northumberland County prison situation.
Yep.
With the fire that went there. Well, WKOK is putting out information on Twitter so people knew, and I bet people use that information to find a different route to get home or a different route, whatever, because of the information they got. So it can be exponentially beneficial. I remember how important it was after the Boston Marathon bombings and the use of Twitter. So there's awesome applications of it. And then there's the social applications of it.
Well, yeah, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if if you can control who you follow, and if you set up your feed, you can use it to your best advantage. I personally use my Twitter feed for news, sports, and weather. And like you're saying, it conveys information to me that's valuable.
But this woman had 170 Twitter followers, and it blew up worldwide.
I'm in trouble one day.
It blew up worldwide. And she only had 170. She didn't have 170,000 Twitter followers. She had 170.
Yeah.
Okay. Barely more than what the station employs. Okay, so come on. I mean, it's not that many. And it the explosion, now she said it, but she couldn't take it back, and it's ruined a lot of things for her.
Yep.
And that's sad. Should she have said it? No. Should her life be ruined because of it? No. But, wow. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin recorded this morning just before he left. Pretty impressive. You should see the video when he dances to it.
It's scary.
Even better. Even better. Good stuff. The coach's caravan was announced today. And, yes, James Franklin's going to headline it again. I think they're going to be 12 stops again on it. And of course he's going to be featured across the board here. Let me see if they got a list of here. Yeah. It's going to start in Harrisburg on May 5th. There'll be a lunch. Lancaster's an evening reception. May 6th, it'll be lunch in D.C., evening reception in Baltimore. May 7th, lunch in Altoona. And then Pittsburgh Cranberry Township evening reception. Then they'll take a little bit of a break. And then on May 19th, it's going to be Philadelphia City Center lunch, Bucks County for an evening reception. Then on the 20th, it's going to be New York City lunch there. And then Northern New Jersey and Morris County with an evening reception there. And then May 21st will be Lehigh Valley for a lunch and Wilkes-Barre for an evening reception. So that's how they're going to do it this year. So Harrisburg, Lancaster, D.C., Baltimore, Altoona, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Bucks County, New York City, Northern Jersey, Lehigh Valley, and Wilkes-Barre this year. May 5, 6, 7, May 19, 20, and 21. Those will be the dates for the coaches' caravan this year, and it'll be across the board.
Always a good event.
Yeah, no, they do very well. They do very well with it.
I was at the one in Williamsport last year. And
oh, good.
Coach Cooper and Coach Pavlik were just great people.
Yep, and that's the other part. You get a chance to meet all the coaches, and I think that helps out a lot with the ability to get, you know, so everyone sees how well-rounded the Penn State program happens to be. So they'll do that in May. May 5 through 7, May 19 through 21. And James Franklin will be headlining this. So they'll be able to take 3 days in May early, 3 days in middle of May, and then you go from there. And I know I was a part of the Scranton stop last year. I don't know what stop I'm making this time. Somebody will get a hold of me at some point.
Always
which is
well,
fun. I enjoy it.
Always well attended in the Scranton area.
Always well attended. Although, you know, Scranton's not on the list this year. It's Wilkes-Barre.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I enjoy it. I mean, I did the Scranton event last year. I also did a speaking engagement at Penn State Hazleton last year. I had a blast at that. That was on my own. You know, obviously I'm not, you know, sometimes you're with a caravan and sometimes you're, you know, you're doing stuff on your own. I do about a dozen of them on my own. And I have a blast with it. I love the Q&A and the back and forth with the fans when, you know, the questions they have. Because you want to talk about what they want to talk about. Well, hopefully we can get some calls here in this next hour and we can talk about what you want to talk about there as well at 800-795-9565. Steve Jones Show continues on News Radio 1070 WKOK.